going to give you the key of kingdom authority. Joshua chapter 5, Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. And when you find your place, stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the house of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thy standeth is holy. And Joshua did so. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of the word of God. And I pray today that it will transform us. God, we are in need of hearing a fresh word from you today. May we become so God conscious because of this moment that nothing else really matters. May your spirit speak to our hearts is my earnest prayer. I pray for your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's God's people. And by the way, let me say this before I even start today, that when you hear a sermon from the Old Testament, it's just like hearing it from the New Testament. You know why? Paul said it this way, these things are written for your admonition as an example. Did you know that? And so God's word is just as relevant today as it was when it was written, and whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. Now behind the children of Israel is Egypt. They've come out of bondage. They've been through the Red Sea. They are out of wilderness living. They're out of the desert. They just crossed over Jordan. And God, as you know, had promised them this land flowing with milk and honey. Y'all with me so far? And by the way, all that is a picture of victorious Christian living. God never intended for you to live in the wilderness. He intended you to live in the promised land. That's not talking about heaven, believe it or not. It's talking about the life that you're to live right now. You're to live in the promised land. And we're going to see that in just a moment. But here was a problem. And did you know life is full of problems? Now, Joshua was set to look out over the city of Jericho. It was early one morning, and he's out there looking, and he's thinking, my gracious, how are we going to overcome that big city? I mean, here, he'd already done the measuring, 90 feet, I mean, walls that were 90 feet tall, 30 feet wide. Two chariots could ride side by side around the whole city. The walls were over 3 miles. I mean, this was a huge city. And Joshua's standing there looking, and that's what we find him doing here. He's seeing a great citadel fortress that stood before the children of Israel. But he knew it was a land of promise. It was a great city, great in antiquity, but one of the by being one of the most inhabited cities of that day. But it was also great in iniquity. It was a wicked, it was a godless, it was a sinful city. Here's Joshua thinking, God, how is this going to be done? Joshua's thinking as a general. He's thinking as a military leader. He's thinking in his mind, I've got 2.5 million people. I've got a lot of great soldiers here. How are we going to overcome this big fortress? I mean, 90 feet walls, 30 feet thick. How are we going to get through all that? And so he's sizing Jericho up. And it was in his eyes, the eyes of man, in a military strategy, an impregnable fortress. It looked like there's no way Israel could conquer Jericho. So I got something for you. I want to say, in each of our lives, the enemy has placed in us a very special Jericho. And it looms before us as an impossible barrier that stands between us and the fulfillment that God has for us in our life. There's a Jericho that stands between you and the dreams of your youth. There's a Jericho that stands before you and the will of God for your life. There it stands, and it shouts defiance. That Jericho says to us, you would have made it if it weren't for me. For I am here in my strength to keep you from entering into the land of promise. You know what your Jericho is this morning, don't you? For some of you, it may be an unhealthy body. For others, it may be an unhappy marriage. For others, it may be an unholy life. For some, it may be an unforgiving spirit. For some, a past defeat or some fear. For some, a pain that you're going through, hurt that is constantly hanging over you. There just seems to be something in your life that's just hanging over you all the time, something insurmountable, something that you cannot overcome, some fortress that seems to keep you from conquering the land that God has given you. And when you face your Jericho, you've got to choose one of two things. One, you can turn around and go back and die in the wilderness of unbelief, or else you can do as Joshua did and face the fortress by faith and conquer it. So I'm going to give you three things today, and it's funny to me because I heard from some Sunday school teachers today that you were talking about Caleb today in Sunday school, and Caleb and Joshua were the only two who believed God. They came back with the 12 spies. Only two had a positive report. The other 10 had a negative report. So number one, what is the key to kingdom authority? Number one, strength through surrender. I'll go ahead and tell you the key to kingdom authority. Are you ready for it? The key to kingdom authority is surrender. And I'm going to ask you today, I want you to be thinking in your mind, what's the difference between commitment and surrender? There's a big difference. What's the difference between commitment and surrender? Number one, strength through surrender. D.L. Moody was a mighty man of God in our history. As he was growing up, he heard a preacher make this statement. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. Moody said, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. Did you know D.L. Moody was not well educated? He had no formal education. He was not a polished speaker. But history tells us that he shook two continents for God, and over 1 million souls came to Christ under his ministry. God used him mightily because he understood what it meant to be surrendered. And there's a big difference between commitment and surrender. All right, first of all, I want to talk about the fruit of promise. Look at the last part of verse 12. No longer are the children of Israel eating manna, according to verse 12 of chapter 5. You see it? No more manna. They had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Cana that year. What in the world is he talking about? Well, they're in the promised land. I mean, they're in the place that God had designed them to be in. And children of God today, I want to say to you that God has given you a promise and you're to eat the fruit of that promise. If you want strength through surrender, you need spiritual nourishment. If you sow to the flesh, you'll get what the flesh can do. But if you'll sow to the Spirit, you'll get what the Spirit can do. And that's what it comes down to in this account in Joshua chapter 5. Whether we're going to follow flesh or we're going to follow by faith. Is it going to be faith or flesh? Everyone in here is sowing some kind of seed. And you will always reap what you sow, right? Whatever kind of seed you sow, you will reap the evidence of that. And if you want strength through surrender, you've got to sow the right seed. Our fruit of promise is from the one who Jesus promised to us, the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us a promise that he would send a comforter, a guide, a nurturer, a teacher of truth. And the fruit of that promise is this, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is how the Holy Spirit of God takes care of you in kingdom authority. Many are still eating wilderness food because they're walking around in circles in their Christian life. They're not getting anywhere. They're weak Christians. They're immature Christians. What should have taken 11 days took 40 years. And if you're going to have strength in your Christian life, you got to surrender to the nurture of the Word of God. Folks, we've got to get in Sunday school. We've got to get under all the teaching and preaching of the Word of God we can. There's kingdom authority. There's the dark side. The dark side of kingdom authority is Satan wants authority in your life, okay? He wants to take control of your life. And here we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are we willing to do what he says? The children of Israel, they finally have arrived. They're in the promised land, and they're eating the fruit of promise. Not only the fruit of promise are they enjoying, but they're enjoying a focus of purpose. Notice what it says in verse 13 about Joshua. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked. Joshua is out looking at Jericho. He's summing up the problem. He's measuring the city. There it is. Those great walls. It just can't be done. Say, you, how long has it been since you've sized up your problems? You say, that's where I'm at right now. 5 minutes ago, I was thinking about a problem. You say, well, I don't know how to deal with it. Oh, you have been walking around saying, this is my Jericho. This is my problem. It looms too big. It's so great in front of me. That's just what Joshua was doing. Who or what are you looking at? That's a good question. Who or what are you looking at? Who are you looking to? Are you like the spies that were sent into the promised land and came back with a negative report? Have you been listening to the world? Have you been listening to your flesh? Have you been listening to other people? I'll tell you what. You know, you can either get your focus on people and problems, or you can get your focus on God, that the people and the problems just dissolve. Get your focus right. And that's what the children of Israel had to do. People and problems become the giants in our land. And they want, all that we see are the giants and the problems of our life. We see the negative instead of the positive. We need some Joshuas and some Calebs who will give us a positive word, a word of hope, a word that will help us get our focus right. Because it's so easy to take your eyes off the Lord, isn't it? It's so easy to look in the world and see all the negatives and to see the problems in life. We all have got problems. I love Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author. I love this. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He authored salvation. He's able to finish it. And when we surrender our purpose and our will to God and allow God to use us as he sees fit, amazing things will begin to happen. The world is shaken not by the wise, not by the mighty, not by the intellect or the skilled, but those who are yielded and surrendered to God. D.L. Moody shook the world because he was surrendered to God. And then faith in a person. Strength, how do you get faith? I mean, hey, how does this work? How do you get strength through surrender? I'm fixing to tell you. Look at verse 13 where it says, and behold, that means look. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, are thy for us or for our adversaries? When suddenly he was aware. You ever felt like there was somebody else around you and you didn't maybe see him, but you felt the presence? I'm going somewhere. You felt the presence. And by the way, I think the reason a lot of churches don't ever get anywhere, they've really never felt the presence of God. I mean, there's a lot of churches out there that are dead as a doornail, and a lot of folks, you know, they've just never seen the activity of God. They believe in God, and they believe in miracles, and they believe that God can do great things. They've just never seen it in their own life. Children of Israel had seen God do great things. God allowed a whole generation to die out because they didn't believe God. Can God allow a whole church to die out? Sure he can. Because God means business, folks. When Jesus died on that cross, and he's the one we've got to put our faith in, we got to understand something. He was not playing games. Joshua's, he's reaching to pull out his sword. And he asked in the last part of verse 13, are you for us or for our adversaries? Say, fella, he's asking, whose side are you on? Would you like to learn the entire meaning of the book of Joshua in one sentence? I'll give it to you in one sentence if you'll write it down. Here it is. Victory is not achieved by fighting. It is received by faith. You want to write that down? Victory is not achieved by fighting. It's received by faith. You remember what God told Joshua? They didn't fight to win Jericho. All they had to do was by faith walk around the city. Can God give you victory just because you obey Him? He won't give you victory in any other way than for you to obey Him. Did you know that? Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's exactly what, as you know, took place. Victory is not achieved by fighting. It's received by faith. Faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Some of you are fighting a battle that's already been won. We have more faith in our problems and the way we focus on them than the person who solves man's greatest problem of sin. You have more faith in your pain than the person who took all your pain on Calvary's cross and took the hurt of the world. We put more faith in our problems than our in more faith in people than we do in the person that we say we have faith in. Jesus took care of men's greatest problem, his sin problem. Jesus can take care of whatever problem you're facing, whatever Jericho you're looking at today. You just got to get your focus right and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? When the children of Israel put their faith in God, their fear disappeared. That's when they could claim the promised land. Now, you know these folks came back with a negative report. And isn't it interesting how we all will listen to the negative before we listen to the positive? Why is that? I'll tell you why. Look up here. We're more a people of flesh than we are a people of faith. That's the truth. We follow our flesh because that's our comfort zone. That's what we know. We just don't know just what God really can and will do. But what will happen if you put your faith in God? Do you define, this is a good question, do you define your life by your circumstances or people in your life? Or do you define your life based on what God can do in your life? If we depend on people, it'll never get done. You know what people will do? They'll go around in circles. You ever seen them? Children of Israel, man, they walk. How long do they walk in circles? 40 years. My gracious. I think some churches do that. It's easy to walk in circles. It's easy just not to get anything done. It takes faith. Faith that not based on circumstances, not based on people, but based on the fact that God told you to do it. Amen. And if God told you to do something, you do it regardless of who the people are or the problem is or the circumstances. Because God said do it. Shouldn't that be good enough? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. Faith in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. But I'm going to go a little deeper now. Are you ready? You see, D.L. Moody said this, real true faith is man's weakness leaning on God's strength. You're looking at a weak man this morning. Some of you are very weak in body, but you got a strong God. Hello? And if the Lord is my strength, regardless of what comes my way, I'll be able to handle it. You know why? Because I've got Him on my side. And I'm going to talk about that now. Submission through surrender. Submission. Not only strength through surrender, but submission. Look at verse 14. Joshua is about to get under something. Remember what I've tried to teach you about kingdom authority. You'll never be able to be over your circumstances. You'll never have victory until you learn to get under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, Joshua was about to get under kingdom authority so he can be over this Jericho. If you submit to his authority through surrender, you can be over your circumstances. How, preacher? Number one, broken before his Savior. Believe it or not, Jesus appears here. This is true. By the way, did you know Jesus was there in creation? Did y'all know that? You said, no. Jesus didn't appear until he was born of a virgin. No, Jesus has always been, folks. I mean, the Bible makes it clear the Trinity was there at creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And here is a pre-incarnation, as it's known, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself before Joshua. And it says, and he said, now, here's the question. You know, the question has been asked, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And this is what Jesus was saying. And he said, nay. He said, no, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Look at the strange answer. The Savior gives Joshua. Joshua asks, are you for or are you for them? And the answer is no. He's saying this, I'm not for you and I'm not for them. I've not come to take sides. Are y'all listening? I've come to take over. General Joshua is broken at that statement. He realized all of a sudden that he was no longer the general in charge. His submission through surrender was to the captain of the host of heaven. And that he would be, he understood that now on he would be taking orders from another. I'm telling you, when you're willing to submit in full surrender and say, all right, God, I'm yours. I'm no longer going to walk in my strength. I'm not going to try to figure things out. I've tried to figure you out. I can't figure. I'm just going to come broken, and I'm going to lay myself before you. That's the submission that Joshua indeed did. Joshua was under a new command. King Jesus had come to take over. You can't be over until you're under, and Joshua knew he was under a new command. He had had a face-to-face confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. This was Jesus he had met. He, the Lord Jesus, is the captain of all the host of heaven, the Bible says. And Joshua had a preview of the coming of Christ. He saw the man, the conqueror with the drawn sword, who has not come to take sides, but has come to take over. Now, you might want to write this statement down. If you want victory in your life, stop trying to get on God's side. Stop trying to get God on your side, and you get on God's side. Quit trying to get God to see your point of view. You know, God gets blamed for a whole lot. You know, we think, well, I hear it all the time. Well, God told me. You better be careful when you make that statement. You better make sure God told you. Amen. If God told you to walk on the water, then you should walk on the water. But if he didn't tell you, I wouldn't advise it. Okay. Whatever. Just make sure that, you know, I'll tell you how I think God works. God works with a humble and a contrite, broken spirit. Not an arrogant spirit, not a prideful spirit, but a submissive spirit to submit to his lordship. If you want victory in your life, stop trying to get God on your side and you get on God's side. God has not come to take sides. He's come to take over. And you will never know faith. You will never know victory. And your Jericho will never fall until you are as Joshua did. You lay your sword at his feet and you bow yourself prostrate at his feet and worship him. And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, Jericho is no longer your problem. It is God's problem. And that makes all the difference when you turn that Jericho over to the one who has come to take over. He will take care of it, but you got to give it to him. We've got this God box over here to help people remember. Give it to the Lord. And when you give it to him, don't take it back. You see, Joshua had been problem conscious, but now he's no longer problem conscious or people conscious. He's God conscious. He lays in the dust before the Lord, and he's not thinking now why it can't be done. He knows it's as good as done because he's laid his life down in full surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. No longer is General Joshua. No, it's servant Joshua. He's bowing down. He's broken before the Savior. Somebody ought to have a shout. You know, there's a bunch of folks that are all problem conscious. I mean, all they do is walk around and look at Jericho's and say, it can't be done. It can't be done. I heard about this man. He saw a freight train, one of the steam engines, for the first time. And he said this. He said, there is no way that thing will ever move. There's no way that big hunk of steel will ever go down the track. Sure enough, they got the steam going. That thing, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo- You know, there's always somebody that's going to look at the negative. They don't see the victory in it. Oh, no, they're just saying, oh, it can't be done. Don't you ever say what God can't do. Amen. The Bible says God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And then bow before His sovereignty. Oh, that's a powerful statement, to bow before His sovereignty. We need to learn to bow again. Look at verse 14 again. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. and he did worship. What's the difference between commitment and surrender? I asked you that question earlier. When you make a commitment, you're still in control, no matter how noble the thing you commit to. One can commit to pray, study the Bible, give money, make a car payment, or lose weight, but they still have a choice. Surrender is when you're no longer in control. We were talking about this in my new members class this morning. Here's what a new member said, and I like his better than mine. He said, commitment is something, I wrote it down, you can fail at. Surrender is when it is out of your hands. I like his better. You know what? If you come up to me with a gun, and you got your gun pointed at me, I put my hands up. I have no gun. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm surrendering because my life is in your hands. Are y'all following me? My life, you can take my life. And by the way, the Bible says don't fear man. He can only take your body. Fear God, he can take your body and your soul. So here's the thing. What if today you and I would just throw up our hands and surrender ourselves to God? Because our life is in his hands. Really. Your life is in God's hands. He don't have a gun pointed to you, but I'm here to tell you, all of us are in God's hands. You're only alive today because God said so. You think you're in control. You say, well, I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? I've dealt with this issue all my life in the ministry where people have said, well, I've come today to recommit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a problem with that. I really do. I've come today to rededicate. You know what basically we're saying with that? Well, I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to be a better person. I'm recommitting. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to recommit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what God wants? He don't want recommitment. He don't want you to make a New Year's resolution. You know what he wants? He wants your life surrendered to him. There's a big difference. You see, Jesus Christ didn't come and live and die to make you a nice person. He came and lived and died to make you a new person. He didn't come to live and die for you to turn over a new leaf. He came and lived and died to give you a whole new life. He didn't just commit himself to go to a cross. He surrendered his life on the cross, and he died for your sin. He surrendered it all to the will of the Father. Bowing before sovereign God, there's a big... do you understand it? Does that make sense? Surrender is when you are no longer in control. And that's a problem for 99.9% of us. We all like being in control. Can I get a witness? Nobody's going to say amen. But it's true. Thank you for the amen. Okay. Chicken and the pig. They have been made aware of this real poor family. And the chicken says, listen to the pig. I am committed to furnish the eggs if you'll furnish the ham. The pig said, wait a minute, chicken. For you're just committing the eggs. For me, it's surrender. I got to die to give them the ham. That's a good picture, isn't it? A chicken can always say, well, I'll make a commitment to furnish the eggs if you'll furnish the ham. But for the poor pig, it's full surrender, amen? And by the way, Jesus died so that you might live. Why don't you die to you so he can live through you? He'll never live through you until you learn to die to you. And a lot of times we wonder, why is it that God's not working in my life? Why don't God answer my prayers? Why don't God move in my life? I'll tell you why, church, because we're not willing to do what God says. Oh, we've been taught, well, you can name it and claim it. You can pray it and it'll happen. No, it will not. Not unless you're willing to be obedient to the Father's will. That's why you've got to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? I mean, do you think God's just an errand boy? A water boy, you snap your finger and God's going to... No, let me tell you who God is real quick. He's sovereign God. That means he's in control of all things. He's in control. Aren't you glad somebody's in control? Our world is out of control. If we'll bow before the one who is in control, bow before his sovereignty. Oh, surrender is when you're no longer in control. And then boldly being his servant. Oh, these are all original. Don't worry. If they don't make sense, it's because your poor old preacher did the best he could. Boldly being his servant. Notice what he says in verse 14. And said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? I want to tell you something. You want to be a conqueror? That's what Joshua had in mind. Listen, everybody listen to this carefully. You truly want to be a conqueror? You really want to be a good soldier of the cross? You really want to be a ranking officer in the Lord's army? Then learn what it means to be a servant. Now, write this one down. Before you can be a conqueror, you must first be conquered. Before you can be a conqueror, you must first be conquered. That's what happened to Joshua. This is what this is all about. Joshua, who was the captain, was no longer the captain, but the servant. And there was a new commander-in-chief that took over that day. Has that happened to you? Have you bowed your head before the Lord and worshiped Him? Have you given everything to Jesus Christ? If you haven't, no wonder Jericho is still looming over you. No wonder the problem's still there. Because you're so problem conscious, you've missed the one who can take care of the problem. Hello? We need to become so God conscious. And when we become God conscious, we'll be bowing down. And we'll boldly proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm His servant. I'm boldly being His servant because He boldly lived His life for me. I'll bow down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Last thing, and I'm done, salvation through surrender. Salvation. And thank God for salvation. You say, where is that at? Look at verse 15. I don't know why I've got so hung up on D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, every way I turned this week, D.L. Moody this, D.L. Moody, this is my favorite quote from D.L. Moody. Never read it before in my life till this week. The law tells me how crooked I am. Grace comes along and straightens me out. Oh, I like that. The law tells me how crooked I really am. But grace comes along and straightens me out. He's the captain of faith. We're talking about Jesus here. Notice verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua. Joshua, the captain of the armies of Israel, is about to be captured by the captain of faith. Now, folks, it's time that we stop looking at Jericho and start looking at Jesus. We've got our eyes, even as a church, I'm afraid too many times, on Jericho. Jericho is what's standing in the way of accomplishing what God wants to do in and through us. But we've got the commander-in-chief with us, the captain of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua, he was so focused on Jericho. So if you want to have faith and you want your Jericho to fall, you need to be God-conscious and not problem-conscious. Your glance, I can see that piano over there. I'm not looking at the piano, but I can see it. I barely can see it, but out of the corner of my eye, I see it. But if I've got my glance on my problem, say the piano's my problem, and I've got my gaze on the Lord, my problem's going to be taken care of because I'm not gazing on the piano. Most of us are over here, and we've got our heads stuck down here under the piano somewhere trying to figure out, what is this problem? I hope that thing don't fall on my head. I'm down here trying to figure it all out, and word, something's going to fall on my head. Or I can put my gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the captain of my faith, and He can take care of the whole thing. He takes care of the problem. But we are so focused on the problem, we miss the problem solver. So if you want to have faith and you want your Jericho to fall, you need to be God conscious and not problem conscious. Your glance on your problem and your gaze on the Lord Jesus. You see, Joshua laid his sword at the feet of Jesus. Jesus did not come to live and die just to give us a settle for life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He conquered sin so that you and I could be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then the compliance of faith. I'm almost done. Look at this. He says, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thy standeth is holy. Folks, I don't know if you understand this. I've been in church all my life. I'm wired this way. I can honestly say, every time I walk into this place, I think of Jesus. I do. I come in here a lot of times by myself, and I just sing to Him, and I pray to Him, and I talk to Him. I believe we're on holy ground. You know why? Because there's been a lot of prayer here. There's been a lot of worship here. There's been a lot of songs sung here. You know, I frown on the fact that we treat this place just like any other place. I believe there. You say, well, we don't come to worship the building. No, we come to worship the God that we believe that this building stands for. There's a cross on the top of this building. On the highest point of this building is a cross. And that's what we're all about. A compliance of faith. Obedience is the key to receiving salvation through surrender. Who here today would let go of even a half of an inch of leather that's on your shoe because you're standing on holy ground? That half inch of leather is not worth coming between me and Jesus. Amen? But yet we'll let our problems and people and circumstances get in the way. You know, the neatest thing happened here one day. It blew me away. I was counseling with someone. It was the day, I think that was the day we were doing the clean, yeah, it was the cleanup day. And yeah, we were having prayer in here. And I walked to the front of the church, and there was like 50 pair of shoes out there on the walkway. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? And then it hit me. Those people have cleaned that church, and they don't want to dirty it up again. Oh, don't worry, church. I'm fixing to go somewhere with this. Then why don't we do that all the time? We're guilty of dirtying up God's house. Oh, yeah. Everybody here. We get our eyes off the Lord and we put it on people. We get our eyes off the Lord and we put it on circumstances. If we're so concerned about taking our shoes off so that we won't dirty up the carpet that has been cleaned on cleanup day for homecoming, how much more should we take off our shoes when we come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I'm standing on holy ground, and I don't even want that half inch of leather to come between me and the Lord. What about you? Is that full surrender? I mean, that's what God was teaching Joshua. Jesus was saying, take your shoes off. By the way, isn't it interesting that the burning bush, this was God's call to Joshua to lead the children of Israel to overcome Jericho. God had called Moses to lead the children of Israel. And in the burning bush, what did God tell Moses? Take off your sandals, for where you stand is holy ground. But we need to recognize that our God is holy. I'm going to say it again. We need to recognize again that our God is holy. Folks, we are here today standing on holy ground. It's holy because God is holy, and we are in this holy temple of worship. Would you remove your shoes, yourself, your selfishness, your sin, your pride to walk down the aisle today and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? There are people today that's probably under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, even now as I speak, but you're more concerned about the people around you than you are taking care of the problem of sin in your life. Friend, I wouldn't be concerned. By the way, you need to know something about the people around you. They love you, and they want you to give your heart and life to Christ. There is no condemnation here. We're not looking down at nobody. We all have sinned. We've all messed up. Why don't you today make up your mind that, hey, you know what? I'm tired of listening to the negative. I'm tired of these spies that have been misleading me. I'm tired of walking around in circles in the wilderness. I want to live a victorious Christian life. And the way you do it, church, is real simple. You surrender your life to Jesus Christ. It's the compliance of faith. And then last of all, there's a confession of faith. I love the last part of verse 15. Only four words. And Joshua did so. And Joshua did so. When you obey the Lord Jesus Christ, you're making a confession of faith in the finished work of Calvary's cross. Salvation comes by surrendering your life to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our confession of faith is agreeing with the Word of God. A confession of faith simply means this. You are confessing what God has already said. All right, let me give you the last verse. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. And then Romans 10 says this. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith is you confessing what God has already said. Would you agree today? Would you bow your head? Every head bowed, every eyes closed. We're going to sing an old hymn today. I surrender all. I surrender all. I wonder today, would the day be the day that you would surrender your all? Notice the song. He says, I surrender all. I surrender all. As our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you tired? of facing the problems of life, and the greatest problem that man has is a sin problem. Are you tired of letting people distract you? You've got more focused on what someone else is doing more than the one who can solve the problems of your life. Get your eyes off people and put it on the person of Jesus Christ. He's the person of faith. Put your faith in Him and your fears will disappear. I'm going to pray right now. If there's a person here right now that don't know Jesus, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer right where you're sitting. Just pray this prayer silently right where you are. Say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. I believe He rose again. I want to enter Your promised land. Lord Jesus, will You forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart and save my soul? And from this day on, my life is in Your hands. I surrender all. In Jesus' name I pray." Now, if you don't know Jesus, that's the prayer to pray. Surrender your life and say, "I know I'm a sinner. I ask You, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save my soul." You do know Jesus. There are many people here that do know Christ. What is defining your life? Your circumstances? Your problems? Troubled people in your life? What is your focus of purpose? I'm going to challenge you today. Don't be problem conscious. Don't be people conscious. Be God conscious. Would you today surrender your heart, your mind, your all to God, Christian friend, and say, "You know what? I'm going to throw up this white flag. Look up here. I'm going to throw up this white flag, and I'm Yours today, God. I'm tired of living life. It's not working. I'm going around in circles. I mean, I just keep going around circle after circle after circle. Today, Lord, I'm Yours." Anybody willing to throw in the flag and say, "All right, God, I'm Yours. I surrender my all to You." Just to be willing to say, "All right, I'm no longer in control. That's Yours, God. I give it to You."